right. The MGM. It's going to be another few days, I think, even without that for Rogue. It's just going to be me and OSF today. Good day, it looks like, already in crypto. So it's a good day for us all to come back. OSF said he was moderately bullish yesterday, and since then we've just absolutely ripped. So we're going to have a lot of hot takes today. Meme coins obviously leading this move back. Sol nearly at 200. Bitcoin heading back above 70K nearly. ETH is pumping. Everything is pumping this morning. Definitely feels like a good day to get some hot takes. I think we're going to be joined by the third co-host, the third co-founder even of Canary Labs. Kaos is going to come through in a couple of minutes. How you doing, OSF? How was your golf trip?
Echoing. This is not good. Oh, okay. It stopped. It was probably one of the best trips I've been on.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
When you say, you
whoa,
know,
cows, with cows with the colors today.
Wow, look at this. and the duck.
Are we live?
We're live, yeah. We're definitely live.
Yeah, please don't say anything bad, Ben, for God's
sake. He's going to get us instant cancelled as per normal. Yeah, good to have everyone back. Yeah, when you say you're on a boys' trip to Inverness, I don't think that's really what most people will consider a great trip, but it did look like it was a good one. What is this thing you've invested in? Why don't you tell everyone?
Manners Golf, mannersgolf.com.
Oh, here we go. Now it's his whole personality.
It's for any golf enjoyers out there. It's a golf clothing brand in the based in the UK, but they ship worldwide. Some outlets as well in Korea and Japan, I believe. But
wonderful. That's yeah. Where
they just have really cool. Like I'm literally wearing complete Manners clothing right now. It's the Manners hoodie.
It looks good. It looks good.
I'm wearing a Manners t-shirt. And I'm wearing
Manners the boxers.
Manners trousers.
Wow! Look at that! Wow!
And I'm wearing Manners. No, I'll stop there.
Do they do plain black t-shirts?
They do with the Manners logo on. Yeah.
All right, well, yeah, I'll get involved then. Why not?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could wear a hoodie on a golf course. Oh, can you?
You can that. Not everywhere, but some places you can now, yeah.
Right. So it's like a young, hip golf brand, it seems.
Yeah, it's cool, but it's like all the clothing's like tech. So like if it rains and stuff, you don't get wet. And it's good for your swing, so it's like a little bit baggy, so you have mobility. Yeah.
I like that clothing actually for traveling in, because often I can't be bothered to iron whenever you turn up somewhere and like you shove stuff in your bag. So like that clothing that like instantly reforms, doesn't get bad. I like that stuff. Anyway, let's get into everything, because the market is looking very, very hot right now. Bitcoin, let me just bring it up. I saw it breach 69k. Yeah, 69.3 right now. Oh no, 69.
Let's just turn this into a tick by tick viewing party.
Yes. Well, we might as well, right? We might as well.
Get a 1 second chart. 1 second chart.
It's definitely looking hot out there right now. Why don't we share the chart? Why not? We'll get involved in this already. You said yesterday you were feeling moderately bullish, OSF. How are you feeling? How are you feeling now?
I felt maybe basically. Yeah, over the weekend, I said modestly bullish price action for this week, but I just felt like we would see a bounce this week. If you look, you know, last week, the selling was clearly due to ETF outflows. And if you look at the GBTC outflow number, that magnitude of the outflow slowed down towards the end of the week. And we had this like 2 week consolidation period where stuff just, you know, consolidated. And so I just felt like without really any real like rhyme or reason, it just felt like we could bounce this week. And I think the market felt like to me, all you needed was a good inflow number for us to have a rebound. And the rally this morning is because the number is probably out there and someone probably has the GBTC number already and knows it's low or not that bad. And there's a good post by James Seyfarth who said that, you know, a lot of the selling was due to the Gemini Genesis bankruptcy selling. And I think they have a total of $3.9 billion of GBTC to sell, and the outflows last week were $2 billion. So not 100% of the outflows would have been from that bankruptcy, but a decent chunk of it I think is now through. So it's kind of like, you know, we're over the hill, like at the end of the tunnel. We had a tough week last week, but things could bounce this week, and funding is clean. Funding's the cleanest it's been for a long time, and it has been for a good few days. So just felt like to me that we were set for a potential rally based on like all these different like things and feelings. And I said modestly because then it covers me in case I was wrong. So
of course. Modestly or moderately?
I said modestly.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So that's like you're...
He said it wrong, but...
Isn't that when you're just like honest?
Yeah. I think it's like... Basically, it's like saying, I'm really bullish, but I don't want to be loud and arrogant.
Okay, it's just a head.
It's the sort of thing that he can retweet in a week, and then he can act like he's not a deep tech retweeting it. You know? So yeah, you're right. Funding looks low across the board. It has looked low for a while now, even in meme coins, right? Like Pepe is probably the highest right now out of the top, whatever this is, 30 or so coins. But generally, it's been low across the board, and it has been since 10 days ago, really, when we got a little bit of that nuke. And you're right. I think a lot of people miss this. We did bring it up on the show last week. You weren't there. But this is the vast majority of these outflows are related to Genesis. I think a lot of people thought this had been finished, but then they did settle with Gemini early last week. And in order to satisfy that settlement, they were then going to have to sell again more of this Grayscale trust that they own. They're nearly down to, they've sold, I think, over half of it right now. Interestingly, also, the GBTC figures are starting to look kind of wildly low. So, BlackRock fund is looking at current rate could cross GBTC in the next 3 weeks, within the next 14 trading days, they're saying here. I think that's just a matter of when, not if, like this will happen. BlackRock is easily going to outpace Grayscale. And I think people can look through these numbers. I think last week's numbers caught people off guard because they didn't know what was happening with the Genesis and Gemini bankruptcy agreement. But now that you can look through that and be like, well, once that selling is done, you did have a slight slowing in the inflows to the BlackRock fund. But if that picks up at all, and I'm pretty sure the halving is the sort of narrative that retail and a lot of broader people who only are peripherally involved in crypto will understand very, very quickly. That's now 3 weeks away. Feels like that could be a very big tailwind for Bitcoin flows. What do you think, Kaz?
I agree. I definitely agree. I do think I would reiterate what we said on the show last week, which was where there's always somebody, now that you have like the ETF providers themselves and the market makers off the back of them have this information before anybody else. So you're always kind of trading slightly on the back foot
with you regard to,
if you're like following that specific narrative. But yeah, I agree. Trying to kind of think about how will people who buy ETFs, what will they concentrate on? What's important for them? What will they look at? And what will ultimately drive kind of investment behavior in the ETF specifically? I think that's interesting to think about.
I think you've got to pick up on that. And like you said, I think people kind of front ran even the market makers, right? We were on the show on Friday and people knew what the outflow figure was going to be. Bitcoin was at 63K. It's up 10% since then. It's up to 69K now. So people clearly thought the outflow figure was going to get less aggressive over the weekend. And this pump just kind of has gathered pace, I feel like.
There are no outflows over the weekend, right? Are there? They're not.
Right, but that's what I mean. People were be able to preempt even the market makers on this one.
I see.
Because often you feel like you're trading behind market makers, right? And now it suddenly felt like you could trade probably in front of them. I know crypto is obviously 24/7, but I imagine there's still
someone's got the color, right? Someone's sitting there
exactly
at the Grayscale headquarters with all the information on their table.
And yeah,
someone's got that information, so.
Interestingly, related to the funding as well, there has been a large increase in short positioning over the last, since we hit that all-time high and then we dropped, a lot of shorts came into the market. And that's why funding has stayed relatively low. I'll bring up the heat map again. But like,
who is shorting here, though? That's why I don't understand. I saw that graph, which was like, hedge funds are like the most short they've ever been Bitcoin.
I don't know if it's the most they've ever been, but you know, this is still a decent amount of liquidations here, all the way up to around 74, up to 72K. Like, this is still a decent amount, kind of across the board. So this was never that aggressive before. Like, so I, and you can tell that from the funding, right? Funding is kind of the lowest it's been for weeks at this stage, which tells you that shorts came into the market, particularly in Bitcoin. I don't know why.
It's just that meme, which is like men will short Bitcoin at 69K before going to therapy.
Yeah, I think people, you know, it's very easy to look at 1 week's worth of data for the outflows and be like, wow, if this continues, then you can get very, very bearish. And I think that's what people do. They often, it's like when you get like a really nice yield in some random DeFi thing, you're like, oh, I'm gonna own this for a year. It's like, no, people overextend very limited sets of data. So you had 4 weeks of outflows, sure, and they didn't realize it was related to Genesis. And suddenly everyone was like, all right, this is a great short. And, you know, the Bitcoin chart, you know, you look back a year, this is the sort of chart where people will want to short something that suddenly peaks there and then goes to there, right? Like, you know, the chartists in this market will go on pretty much any of these coins. So like Solana was another one that got very heavily shorted on that move down. And you know, it's ripped back in faces there, right the way back up to 200. So that's, I mean,
when do we take that levered soul trade off?
I mean, I actually exposed that trade slightly on when I went onto the Binance thing. You wanted to take it off at the lows, as did Cowley.
I never said take it off at the lows.
Let's go through this. Let's actually go through this. The last two bits of data that OSF said. I took off some part of the Canary Treasury, went into Levered Sol about a couple of weeks back. At 200, I took off part of the trade.
Hang on, you didn't take it off.
Whoa.
Take it off.
I got stopped out because of funding. OSF went back in at 199. I got back in at 180. It goes to 170. OSF and Ben both decide that they want to potentially get
neither,
out.
Neither of us said that.
When it drops below 200, let's buy it back. And it dropped below 200. I was like, so are we buying it back?
And I did not. I waited till 180. And then at 170, you guys were both ready to throw in the towel. And we're now back up to a pretty nice profit in that one. So
levered trading
is neither of your twos. It's, I mean, I've had some bad things, but it's definitely neither of your twos.
They're going to be business school essays written about the corporate governance of this company. The investment committee on live podcast being overruled by Manda's swing trading and getting stopped out.
I think you've been stopped out on every levered trade you've ever done, Callie.
That's because it's like crack. You have to go for the 1,000x.
You're 1,000x. And OSF, I think, normally puts them on for about a day and then takes them off because he doesn't like them. So, yeah. I will.
Not for me.
Particularly as you start to lose money, it's like, yeah, get out. Just get out.
Got anyway. The whole curve here. It's not for OSF. Mando's like in the middle risk tolerance, so can actually use it. And then I'm just too far the other end.
Yeah, you are way on the 1,000x. So look, I think we can continue to rally here. I do think it's going to be more choppy. Like if you bring up that chart of Bitcoin. I think when this looked like a meme coin chart, right? Like since November or October, even we went from 26K up to 72K, whatever it was, 73K. And it was just up only. This is the first time we've gone a bit choppy. I reckon if we are to go up to 100K, it's going to be more choppy. Like I think from here, you probably have this sort of volatility and it kind of looks a bit like this on the way up rather than just meme coining up. So I think the halving will be a bit of a narrative, and I think a lot of the Bitcoin related things will rally here. So, and you know, some of the stuff that doesn't have some of this SEC overhang, Doge has had, and some of the meme coins are really bouncing hard on the back of that. But I don't think you're going to miss this rally. I think it's the sort of thing where you're meant to probably take a little bit of profits if we go back up to, you know, 75, 80K. And I would be very unsurprised if we get another retest of 70K, maybe even 65K here. Like it's just the way I think this market's going to trade here. It's just a bit more volatile, but going higher. What do you guys think?
I just think we're going to go to like 200K and people are going to get wrecked trying to time the moves.
Yeah.
Like I think loads of, like, I mean, it's, you've seen it already, like random things will pump and people try and chase them because the thing that is not pumping and then they get wrecked by in the top of something while the thing they sold rallies. It's just like, I think there's going to be a lot of overtrading that will cause people to lose money, when the really the easiest thing is like just buy a few things and hold it and then maybe trade with like a small percentage of your portfolio. But
I would agree with that too. So like you can be the best person to get in and out. And I think what a lot of people also miss when they get in and out is they get out and then they get back in and they're really happy they got out of some and they got back in, but they don't get in as much as they got out, and then they somehow miss the next leg again. So sometimes it's easier, like you'll make more money just being long the whole time. But I guess this is the period I would say, if you are going to be a buy and hold, is that be prepared to have a bit more mental resilience, because I think it's going to be a bit up and down. And if you're the sort of person that is buy and hold but also just pukes it out when it drops 30% or drops 20%, then know that about yourself and maybe, you know, protect yourself a little bit on the way up. Because I don't think this is going to be the sort of one where you're just like, I'm a genius, buy and hold. It's going to be like, oh crap, you know, this is down 20%, just like Sol did, right? And you've got to decide, you know, believe in something here. So I do think you're going to be tested a bit more on this leg higher. Although I think we're going higher, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm actually of the view, and this may be left curve or right curve, that the ETF inflows will increase from here. Like we're in a 250 million a day. I think let me bring up the DGENS. The DGENS. It's a great page actually here on DGENS that they've built. But we've got an average. Where's the stats? Average is 225 a day, right? I actually think we could be in a world where this goes up to like 500. Because I think that you're only starting to, like, a lot of these institutional funds are oil tankers and they move slowly. And you're only starting to see them do the due diligence on this, say, like, give the green light that you can actually invest in this for their funds. BlackRock obviously moved very quickly to be able to do that, but there's so many others. Pension funds, they've made it much easier for corporates to buy Bitcoin, remember, recently. Sovereigns, obviously El Salvador's been the first one to do this, but you have a number of different sovereigns looking to do this, and they've just made it so easy to do. Plus you have all the Chinese and Asian ETFs going to probably come live in the next month or so. Like I really do think we could be in a world where this is more like this goes up to 500 million towards Q2, Q3 of this year.
I agree. I think it's like, it's been a retail product so far, and as soon as it becomes more of an institutional product, those numbers could really escalate aggressively, I think. And to your point on expecting choppiness, Michael, like we've had a 20-25% pullback, and so if you've held through that and now you see we're going back up again, like that should, you know, you expect more of that, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And I think you don't have to get so hell-bent on trying to time these 20% rallies and pullbacks, etc. I think you can just hold through it, and that way you're minimizing your error of just like selling too early, basically. And I think it's a better strategy to have profit targets in mind and levels where you will sell some and just take it off and just stick to those, than being like, cool, it's down 20%, I'm going to buy a bit more here, it's up 20%, I'm going to sell a bit more there. Because the reality is, it's going to be one rally where you sell up 20% and then it does a fucking 5x and you're going to be like, ugh. Or there's going to be one time where it's down 20%, you're going to be like, fuck, I think it's going to drop more. You sell it and it rips back in your face. And you can chart as much as you want to chart, but at the end of the day, if anyone was really good at charting, they would make a shitload of money and you could just get bots and algos to do it. So there's still a skill, there's still some judgment in charting. It's not purely technical. And 100%. So we just don't have all the same color. At the end of the day, someone's sitting there at Coinbase or at Gemini or whatever, who knows the ETF data, or who knows who's going to be the big seller or the big buyer before any of us do, and we're like fourth or fifth hand to that information. So I think you just have to appreciate that it's a rallying market. It will be choppy, but buying and holding and just having profit targets where you take bits off is going to be a much better way to trade than trying to time each dip and each pop, etc.
We got asked the question on the weekend, where do you think Bitcoin goes this cycle? I came back with like, I think Bitcoin probably does around a 3x from its previous all-time high. So let's say around 200K. But I think it's going to be one of those ones where, as with all of these cycles, a lot of the gains is made right at the end. So like if you're holding on, it maybe goes from like 150 to 200 in like a couple of months, and that's like a blow off top, and you get out. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think the best part of last cycle, or the moment we could have made the most money, was really the last 20% when all the alts go parabolic and you have this great big blow off top. And we haven't seen that yet, because we haven't seen that by definition, because Bitcoin dominance is still 54%. And remember, it dropped as low as 40% in 2021. So I do think the best is yet to come. But when that best comes, I think that's the moment you really have to take a lot of profit, I think. But yeah, I think we just haven't seen an alt season yet, which is crazy to think given how much alts are up. But I think there's more parabola that's yet to come in alts.
What do you think, Ali? Where's your...
I agree, although I think Bitcoin's the daddy here. Like I said that before as well. Just like, I think I wouldn't be surprised if dominance is like materially higher than every other cycle, just because of the scale of the inflows into the single coin from the global financial system, the global dollar-based financial system, which I do believe fundamentally it's actually impossible for any human being to comprehend the scale of, like, the amount of money that's going to flow into this thing. It's like our brains are not capable of comprehending the scale of it. Like,
so your crush Kathy Wood said a couple days ago
that
Bitcoin could go as high as 3.8 million.
Kathy Wood is that she's done this for every price target she's had. All she's done is just like fifth behind her fucking spreadsheet, which is like number of Bitcoins, 21 million. Number of Bitcoins, 21 million. And then she's had some kind of estimate of demand. And she's like a monetary economist by background. So she's all about like monetary supply driven inflation. And so she just refreshes her spreadsheet and with the increased estimated demand. And that's how she gets these price targets.
I like that spreadsheet.
And you love it.
And we love it.
Of course. I do think the new highs will make previous all-time highs look very, very small. I think 2x is pretty conservative, if I'm honest.
So you think 200? You're in the more in the Kathy world. That does make sense.
I think it makes sense.
You and her are going very well. There has been some more bullish sentiment over the weekend. Just reeling off some headlines here. Bitcoin is crucial to the financial system. That was said by BlackRock over the weekend. Resurging Goldman Sachs sees resurging interest in crypto assets. That was another one. And then Raoul Paul, who we have on this show fairly regularly, has called for the macro crypto summer to begin now. That's related to a bunch of different economic indicators, which he thinks is going to turn back up this summer. He thinks we're just in the beginning of this. So very, very bullish sentiment over the weekend. In terms of the things away from Bitcoin, which are pumping, base has probably been the main thing that's picked up the pace over the last I would say week or so. You saw the TVL.
I did call this.
Yep.
And you poo-pooed me. Let's just put that out in the public.
Didn't you want to go into Blast meme coins? Or
that was SF.
I don't know. TVL is now up to 2 billion. Which is wild for a coin for a chain with no coin, right? There's nothing coming here, at least nothing said.
What about a coin with no chain?
Yeah, that would be Blast. I don't know who's got a coin with no chain. I guess quite a few different things. Anyway, this has done pretty well. And I think there was something like it did 2 billion of volume in a day, which was maybe beat Solana in one of the days. I missed where that come, but like a lot of people posted about it. I didn't know if the data was that good, but it is kind of wild what's going on there. The main token that has really taken off is this Degen token, which was related to Farcaster. Let me bring it up. This is now a $600 million market cap. It's up 70%, or $700 million market cap now. It's up 70% today. That's done a 4x in the last week. Really, look at that. Look at that for a chart. That is wild. Did you guys get involved in this? A lot of people, this is like the tipping coin, right? A lot of people got tips in this on Farcaster. I know Thread Guy put a post out over the weekend where he said he made like 50 grand from this. Yeah. Just claimed 35 grand of eat for free by doing literally nothing but giving out free tips on Farcaster. I think he's kept that bag. So that has...
Another 70%.
That's probably... Yeah, that is done pretty well. It is kind of wild because I think this one did swing from ship... And, you know, I saw the Bold Leonidas thing today, which is kind of like, this is a forced narrative. It does feel forced, but then it goes from swings, right? It feels under shield and then massively over shield. Farcaster is one of these things that a lot of people hated, and then people now have crushed it on this token. So then maybe people were meant to be shilling this because this is kind of wild, this move. So I don't know like who's the mid curve here, but it does feel like... I don't love many of the meme coins on Base. I think a lot of them are kind of very mid sort of memes. I saw one today, which is just, it was just called Brian Armstrong. And I was like, there was no meme about it.
That's
it was quite funny.
That's a meme in itself.
And I was like,
so bad.
This is so Base as a, maybe I'll find it here. Yeah. It's just called Brian Armstrong Coinbase.
I love that.
That's so good. Like, this couldn't be more Base as a meme coin, right? There's a lot of memes like this where you're just like, where's the meme? But they're doing pretty well. And Degen, related to Farcaster, has just done the best out of this. What do you think? Is it mid-curve to be on Base or to be fading Base? Both of you.
I don't think Farcaster is really good. Warpcast is a really good app, and I think it's easy to say, oh, this is just like another thing that's going to be shit. But I went to I was at the ETH Global Hackathon a couple of weeks ago, helping judge that, and 50% of the projects were either on Base or the other 50% were using Farcaster. And it's like the things you can do with it are pretty cool. Like this idea of frames, it's like a intangible concept unless you actually use it and understand how good it is, I think. And I don't think it's just a fad, I actually don't think it's a forced narrative at all. People are actively using this stuff, and it's amazing for Web3. It's amazing for artists as well. You know, you can actually just mint something straight from someone's social media feed when you have a new piece. Like that's the call to action, removing you having to like go to an external link is massive, I think. So there's a lot of like potential in this, and there is a question, like, does Warpcast overtake Twitter, or does Twitter just eventually incorporate frames and incorporate Farcaster? They're two separate questions, but I don't think this is to be faded. I think this is pretty amazing, to be honest with you. And the Base stuff, I mean, like, look, the ability for connectivity between a Coinbase wallet and Coinbase exchange and Base also has massive potential in terms of an onboarding perspective. So I don't think you can fade that either. How do you play it? Like, what do you buy? It's tough to judge. We just buy these meme coins right now, and many of them will go to zero. Will there ever be a Base coin? How do you farm it? I'm not sure. Do you just go and use Warpcast a lot? Like, we don't really know, but I think this is going to be a bigger thing. I don't think this is, it's not a forced narrative in my opinion at all.
Yeah. I just wanted to say briefly there that you mentioned there that, you know, maybe Twitter will pick up on this stuff. Elon actually tweeted over the weekend asking where Vitalik had gone, because he stopped tweeting really. So I think, let me just bring it up. Yeah, why did he leave? Autism Capital asked, you know, Vitalik needs to get back on X. Why did he leave? And then he's basically, because he's on Farcaster. He's on Warpcast. That's where he's been doing the majority of his tweets, and everyone in the replies would be like, you haven't enabled crypto payments yet. So maybe this does, you know, tell Elon that he needs to get more involved. He's definitely losing. He's maybe not losing numbers, but he's losing culture here, because I think a lot of people will go that way. And crypto culture, to be honest, I think is the backbone of a lot of X. It is a huge bit of X, in my opinion. So maybe he does go down that route. What about you, Callie? What do you think about this? Obviously, you said that
just for the record, I broadly agree. I think, like, you don't have to think any more than this. Like, Coinbase is kind of the app of crypto, and it's going to be very easy to use Base through the app. That's it. Like, that in itself is probably a stronger reason to back this coin than 99% of crypto projects that have it, in terms of actual usage and actually getting it into people's hands and reducing friction. So yeah. I think Base Chain will is like, and I don't think it's a forced narrative. I think some of the memes are mid, but I think that will just evolve over time. I think, and then on Farcaster, I actually have never used it. I'm like, I was just triggered by memories of Threads, and that I'm not going to waste time on this shit other thing. But I spoke to, we were at a Coinbase dinner last week, humble brag. and yeah, exactly. And a lot of the people there had been using Farcaster, and they said, look, it's like Twitter, but without just like, it's a filter. So you only get actually interested, engaged people who are like massively value add to your own network. And I think there's definitely something to be said in that, like, at certain scales, social networks massively reduce average like perceived value per user, not financial value, just like value of like who's giving out information, who's replying to me in an insightful way, who's like forwarding conversations or driving forward conversations, etc. And I hadn't really thought about it like that. And I think that combined with the ease of integrating financial incentives through the crypto frames is like powerful. But it might die like Threads, but I feel like it's past that initial phase. Yeah. I think
that's same with Threads. Threads was like nothing new; it was just a clone of Twitter. But
that's true. That's very true.
It's commercial on steroids. Whereas I think you're right. Like you go to any viral tweet on X at the moment, you go to the replies, and it's just other people trying to post kind of engagement baiting videos for you to. And because of the way it's monetized, right? Everyone's monetized based now on engagement, essentially. So there are accounts which basically just piggyback and it dilutes the quality of the information. Obviously, Warpcast has been done in a different way. So I don't think I just think he needs to add some more crypto-friendly features. Like they moved away from that. Obviously, they shut down a lot of the NFT stuff. But yeah, you go, Kyle. What were you going to say?
Do you think it's that, or is it the scale? Is it that like I think every network probably in the history of humans has become too big to the point, or not every 99% of networks have become too big to the point where it's useless. Like Facebook is not useless, but it's no longer cool. You can't get like good stuff on there. So I think there has to be very active management and or gating is probably the one wrong word, but there has to be active curation and management and alignment of incentives for these networks to maintain quality. And I think Twitter might be too far gone there.
How many active, we're really going down a rabbit hole here, but how many active crypto accounts do you reckon there are on X? I don't think it's that many.
Probably less than you think, but the signal to noise ratio is just too high.
That's what I think. I think it's not necessarily about the fact that our network is too small, right? Like the actual number.
The network is too big.
Sorry, but like it's the same network. Like we're probably the amount of accounts that people actually follow in this network regularly, I would say, is in the low thousands, right? Like it's not that many people that people are following actually for their tweets. People have accounts, but they're really just following a few thousand, let's say. And I would say even then you could refine it into a much smaller group. I think it's more, that what you said, it's just got a lot of baggage with it right now. Like the monetization has created this sort of baggage for the crypto community, which is actually a bit niche. Doesn't need anything too big to help suffice it. It just needs something more dedicated to it, essentially. Even though it's small, our network is not hundreds of thousands or millions and millions of people. It's actually quite small, I would say. It's just, it's been underserved, I think, by the current framework. I think that it's a bit of a vampire attack. Base is now really taking off. Meme coins is the main thing. Farcaster, Warpcast, go try them out. Obviously, I think the claim actually for this Degen token is gone. But it is still a popular tipping tool that, and you're starting to see some other stuff move there. The other big thing... There you go.
The only other thing I was going to say, actually, and I forgot, is like DeFi. I think I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of DeFi starts to evolve on this chain just because Coinbase is such a trusted entity and is like, it's listed in the US. If they play it right and they support DeFi like developers and creators, then... in like with like some kind of legal help or blah blah blah, I don't even know. I think that's another element which this chain can thrive.
So I would agree with you to an extent. I think a lot of the perp DEXs and a lot of DeFi has essentially become essentially illegal in the US. Like, you can't do it in the US. The CFTC is coming out after the vast majority of it. So not that much DeFi actually happens on Base right now. A lot of it's commercial applications. You know, it's this sort of social fi or although BlackRock tokenized its fund alongside Coinbase. So if the RWA narrative picks up and you start to see tokenization, I think there's a path for more tokenization DeFi on Base, which again, I guess is more TradFi style DeFi. Whereas a lot of the, I think a lot of the you know, perp DEXs, a lot of the more edgy DeFi stuff, I don't think it's going to move there. And that actually takes up a lot of what DeFi is right now. So I think it's a mixture of both. But Blast has been doing decently too. I think the one meme coin there, well, the main meme coin now, Pacmoon's gone back to its all-time high. I know you got bagged there, OSF, for free. And this yield token, you guys been following this? Crypto Valleys, which is kind of another... So back last cycle, this GameFi DeFi stuff became very, very big. There were a number of different games. DeFi Kingdoms is probably the biggest, and it got to like over $1 billion market cap at one stage. And then, I mean, I'll bring up that fucking chart. It's a disaster ever since. These things are generally kind of Ponzi-like games. Very similar to some of the sums. They kind of moved into the crypto space a little bit. And they're like extended versions of Ponzi. So, and I don't know if I'm going to offend people here, but things like Wolf Game, you know, you had a few of those that kind of moved into this space and they were similar. Like, yeah, they stay involved, but essentially it's like a drawn out Ponzi. And DeFi Kingdoms was the biggest one in just the DeFi space. They've now got a new version, Crypto Valleys, which has gone up to about $150 million market cap on that space. And I don't know. Deez is big into this. This is the number one traded coin on Blast right now. This is definitely the biggest thing to happen on Blast in terms of the dApps which people are using. Have you guys played this game at all?
No.
Or even looked at it? No. All right. No. Well, no. Maybe something neither of you two have. Through it your way. But yeah, Deez is the person to follow there. I think Thread Guy's even involved, actually. Deez and Thread Guy are, you know. Yeah, look, I think 90% of Deez's tweets at the moment are to do with playing this game. you can just buy the token, I think stake it, or you can play the game. It's basically a DeFi farming game, kind of similar to Farmville or something like that.
My favorite meme about this is like...
He loves this, man.
My favorite meme about this is just the fucking, you know, isn't this just the same as running a fucking small farm? You're doing it for crypto money, but you might as well do it for real, for money.
Yeah, well, I you never played like Harvest Moon or any of those games?
No, not the actual game. I mean, like a farm.
I know, but like farming games are super popular, man. Like people like to, you know, life's tough in the big city. You know, you can't get out of nature. You got to play some farming game on your phone. You feel like you're out there fishing. You feel like you're out there farming. Gets people back to...
Yeah, fair. What was the farming game on Nintendo DS called again?
I thought it was Harvest Moon as a member.
Harvest Moon, yeah. That was it.
Farmville then obviously became massive after that, which was, and there's still this bunch of these sort of games. Farming games don't fade. Farming games, but it has been meme coins as well, which have just kind of led this resurgence. Whiff, I actually have it up here, is back up to nearly $3. All the political meme coins are absolutely mooning right now. I've obviously been big in the Boden meme, which is kind of low-key going a little bit mainstream here. I saw Zero Hedge tweet about it earlier. Zero Hedge.
Is it true that you're the person behind Zero Hedge, Callie?
I can neither confirm nor deny the Zero Hedge rumors that have been floating around my persona for a long time.
It wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, this is a Donald Trump up 120%. Joe Biden. These things are flying at the moment. The political meme coins definitely gone a bit more mainstream. But and any mid tier meme on Solana, anything kind of 100 million plus had a really strong weekend. You had a bunch of listings again. I think Popcat.
Is that just capital rotating out of like offensive coins into non-offensive coins, or like what's
I think that was it. But also, those coins, when they get above 100 million right now, they tend to get a lot of listings. So like, I think Popcat got a listing from Bybit, I think, over the weekend. So once they get over 100, all these exchanges are really keen to list these meme coins right now. So because the volumes are insane. The volumes are really high. They're more than most coins on ETH, more than most coins even across, you know, different exchanges. So kind of a wild move in a bunch of different meme coins. Oh wow, there's a new Trump on base. We are running it back. So yeah, it does feel as though political meme coins have been a big one. Obviously all the offensive ones have kind of all died, and base meme coins are the other big ones. I know you got involved in something over the weekend, which is this Howdy token as well. Like, that was one of the NFTs have been a little, again, you know, that losing a little bit of focus. Puppets are still around all-time high, but the majority of the front page of DGens is a little bit red. But this Howdy Hats token, what is this, OSF?
So these Howdy Hat NFTs were airdropped to, I believe, collectors or holders of this piece called Rubber, which was made by a person called Crypto Pop Punk. And the idea behind Howdy Hats is the trading revenues or royalties from a week will go towards funding the LP for a shitcoin that's coming, and holders, I say shitcoin, for a meme coin that's coming, just give some respect to it. And holders of the NFTs will get airdropped, I think, 66% of the supply of this coin. So it's interesting how it's worked. It's kind of like a little bit of a pre-sale, because you can buy the NFTs to earn the airdrop, and it's kind of smart in how that they're using the royalties generated from the NFT trading in order to fund some of the LP. So it's just,
it's done now, though, right?
The snapshot was already taken. So the coin is launching today, and we'll see how that goes. Certainly an interesting one. I mean, it's not something I would have done myself, because you're giving future value to these NFTs in the form of a token, which certainly, in my legal opinion, makes them a security. And I think generally people who are just doing this kind of stuff from pre-sales, etc., they're all going to get into trouble, especially if they've raised a large amount. So not what I would have done personally, but something to dig in, absolutely. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. And if it goes really well, then I think you will see other people tread the treacherous lines of legality versus prison. And
wow. Coming in hot. OSF turned into a Fed again. So yeah, it's basically another way to do a pre-sale. That's all it is, via an NFT. So your NFT becomes your pre-sale there. The Red Kite community got into it, didn't it? Pretty big, because obviously they own the art piece as well. It is a, you know, it's got a hat. So that's quite a big thing in this market. People like the hats. Have you looked at this, Cali? Is this too mid for you, or left curve or right curve?
I was actually away over the weekend. I was off grid, shall we say, but so no, I did not, sadly. But the NFT just goes to zero straight after the pre-sale, essentially, is that right?
It hasn't actually gone to zero. It's gone to about 1.5 SOL. It was about 10 SOL beforehand, so it's lost about 90% of its value. But yeah, it's not doing that well. Let's see how that goes tomorrow. This could be, like you said, could be an interesting meta. The Tate brothers might be getting into shill meme coins. Did you see this?
Shit coins.
Andrew Tate, having told us all that NFTs were for losers, and that, you know, he made more money in crypto than anyone else and still hated it. He's now said there's meme coins that are great, but each bull run there are the genuinely technological, useful, innovating blockchain coins. What the fuck does that mean?
Last
bull run was DeFi Land. Made $85 million on Pancake. Do you know what they are, this bull run? Him and his brother are both setting themselves up to shill some meme coins. Tristan Tate did the same thing. Let's see what happens there. Maybe they need some new money for their legal defense. Who knows? Definitely feels like they could make a pretty penny off this sort of stuff, doesn't it? Very, very easy to make money. The key skill
in any media personality is understanding what your audience wants. And if your audience wants meme coins, you give them meme coins.
It does feel like they want meme coins. Did you see the videos over the weekend of that guy in Dubai who want to break Sol.
He's been memed already several times.
What is his name again? Mr. something. Mr. Overpaid. Oh my God, this was incredible. I have only found out about this guy.
It's going to pop massively over the next couple of weeks. It went down a little bit. The crypto men were panicking across the world.
Well, this isn't it.
Panic and sell their bags. What I want
who
you
is
do
this crowd?
Buy Bitcoin now because it's going to go up to 80K, 85,000 over the next couple of weeks. So you guys paid good money to Bitcoin. You paid $5,000.
Bitcoin Masterclass. Okay. Look at the state in that. Look at the state.
Honestly, Mando, that's you in an alternative universe.
Like, you think? Where's the Solana one? He must have deleted. I think he deleted the Solana one. Was it Mr. Overpaid Solana? Let's see if someone saved it. Please say someone saved it. He just got destroyed.
This is disgusting. This is awful in every way. If I could kill it, I would.
No, no one's.
But I legally.
No one's kept the video. No one's kept the video.
It was a lot hilarious. Of people were saying it was AI generated because his hair looks like this very specific balding man 3 in Unreal Engine.
his hair is something. He's either got to shave it off. Oh, no one's kept the video. He deleted it clearly, but this guy basically said that him and his paid group were going to break Solana over the weekend. Not a very convincing man. Literally zero expression for anyone in the crowd. I don't know who paid to go to this Bitcoin masterclass with this clown, but he seems to be doing well. He keeps on showing videos of all of his cars over the weekend. Great car that. It's like a used Honda Civic. And oh God, this guy. I think he's going to blow up over the next few months. There's no way. Like Twitter has found a new target. Him. Wow. Look at that class. $1 million made from 2 XRP trades. Well, no one trades XRP, mate. So I think everyone knows
that. My friend actually texted me this morning saying, should he take a job at XRP? Is it a growing company?
They're going to try an IPO, apparently. They're going to try an IPO in the US. That's the hot rumor.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, well, remember Circle's IPOing, right? And people are like, well, who's the next one who's going to try an IPO? And people say Ripple. So maybe they'll all make money out of this.
Founders. I would buy Circle IPO. That's just like a basically huge arbitrage trade on interest rates, which is good.
Who are these blokes? Founders of Solana. Is the terminology for that? Look at the state of these three. So is this Canary Labs in another world? That's OSF in the middle. Cowley, Mando.
Wow.
Look at the state of these labs. Everyone's trying to do the Andrew Tate trade, aren't they? And it is embarrassing to see. Wow.
I tip my hat to anybody in business. I'll say that.
Anyway, we're on the lookout for Mr. Overpaid. I feel like he is his main character himself over the next couple of months. What else did we see in NFTs? Kevin Hart sold his Bored Ape for an 83% loss. Nature is healing. We'll see how that happens. 888 defaulted on an NFT loan over the weekend to Cyrus, which I thought was pretty funny. And everyone remembers 888. I think that's a good.
Is that a bottom signal?
I think it is. I think we're nearly there on bottom signals there. If AAA is defaulting on other sides, I feel like that feels so reverse of the top right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, what else have we seen? That was kind of it, I think, for NFTs. There were some high sales in the ordinal space. I think a Bitcoin Rock or an ordinal rock traded for around 200 grand. But again, it's mainly been NFTs. You saw some big open edition mints last week. Obviously, X copies raised, I think, around $2 million or something like that. And a lot of them are happening on Base right now. So a lot of different people are doing open editions on Base, which feels like it's clearly going to be a bit of a trend. You saw that Ghazali guy came back.
God,
He did a couple of griffs, and then I think he's going to leave. He did a 404, and then did a base meme coin. And then you saw, Ordinals could just continue to flip ETH NFTs. So Node Monkeys flipped Bored Apes in market cap. And you saw Puppets flip Mutant Apes. So two of the main collections on Ordinals have both flipped Yuga over the weekend. So not really surprising in terms of the trend, but that isn't great, I think, for ETH NFTs, even if they have rebounded slightly over the last few days.
Is there a narrative that Bored Apes can rally here, or is it just like, is it like a prolonged shitcoin chart where it just asymptotically approaches zero?
Yeah, you know, ApeCoin hasn't been doing that badly. ApeCoin, you know,
I think that's separate though, right? Like, that's just listed people from Punter. It's just a beta to Bitcoin, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's not looking good. Let's put it that way. But it's been bearish flips, really. Like, a lot of ETH NFTs are falling, and it's really the ones that are outperforming. Whereas Ordinals themselves, it's not like loads of ETH NFTs are doing great. Like, have I gone to this chart? Penguins have done okay, but definitely, like, in the last month, it's been a bit of a bloodbath, apart from the Parallel stuff, which has done well, and Miladies, even though they got, like, hacked. It's really just been the Ordinals. Ordinals do not care about where, you know, ETH NFTs trade. They're just going higher. There's airdrops every other day for them. They're all up significantly, it feels like. So at least the top collections. A little bit of tension between the Node Monkeys and Bitcoin Puppets communities. I'm more of a Puppets guy than a Node Monkeys guy, but it's interesting to see how that one develops as like the two collections. Look, I think that's where we'll leave it today. It's been just shy of an hour. Sims, are we doing anything with Rollbit today?
Nope, tomorrow. We're all clear.
Okay. I think it's just going to be me and probably Cows, I think, tomorrow. OSF is...
When do I start getting paid as a Rogue Radio creator?
You tell we'll me,
talk.
Mate.
We'll talk.
There we go.
Spicy. Ooh, spicy.
On that note...
Frog says we'll get paid one day, you know. All right, we will see you guys all again tomorrow. Thank you for joining us, and we will be here all week. All right, thanks, guys.